Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Tuesday.
Good morning, Colin.
Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs stops by today. Great to see you, Joy. I'm getting fired. I got college football less than a week away. You know I love college football. Joel Klatt next hour. So I want to start with Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham signed a massive contract during the last hour of our show yesterday, and we talked about this contract. You know, I always think wide receivers are a little overpaid, sometimes a lot overpaid, but here's the story. So Eli Manning had gone into the tank the last 4 years, and here's what the Giants did in the offseason to save Eli Manning. They stole Tom Brady's left tackle. They drafted with a number two pick in a running back rich draft, Saquon Barkley. They re-sign Odell Beckham, draft another offensive lineman in the second round, and then hire one of these great offensive gurus, Pat Shurmur. Gift, gift, gift. God, I thought Eli was 2-0 against Tom Brady. He's 3-0 against Tom Brady. This isn't a Super Bowl. It's the 2018 offseason. So it's very interesting. I'm sitting there thinking this morning. Jared Goff, just a kid, already has Todd Gurley, already has a really good receiving core, and they went out and spent $80 million to get him another toy Brandon Cooks. Patrick Mahomes has Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. They went out and got him another toy, Sammy Watkins. Matt Ryan already has a loaded backfield. Julio Jones, they went out and drafted in the first round a wide receiver from Alabama. Cam Newton last couple of years gets an explosive, dynamic running back. Christian McCaffrey gets DJ Moore, first-round wide receiver. Derek Carr already had Amari Cooper. They get him. Jordy Nelson, gift, 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 gift. And Tom Brady, at his practices, name tags. He doesn't know the name of his receivers. Tom Brady, for 15 years now, has been the best player in the league. He is the only star quarterback in this league who takes pay cuts every single contract. And he looks around and goes, waitress, waitress, everybody's coffee cup's getting filled up. A little over here, please. Folks, if you were the best person in the world at what you did, and you were willing to take pay cuts to benefit your company, wouldn't you want to see the reward for it? Don't tell me the Super Bowl is the reward. Tom's the one getting you there. He's the one carrying that receiving core there. He's the one carrying those Rex Burkheads there. He's the one carrying that defense that couldn't stop a cold there. He's looking around the league. New England's never drafted a wide receiver once in the first round. He's taking pay cuts. The Niners drafting receivers for Garoppolo and Goff and Mahomes and Derek Carr. Even Aaron Rodgers got Jimmy Graham. So you wonder when Tom Brady hangs up on a radio station, you wonder why he walked out of a press conference 4 weeks ago in New England at camp. You wonder why he punted a football a couple of weeks ago at practice. He was notably, visibly angry. You wonder why they don't play Malcolm Butler and don't give him a head up. When he did this on a radio show a couple days ago, did you hear this? Maybe there's a reason for it.
We saw the reports this weekend that Alex was on the team plane, which he wasn't for the second half of last year, I guess, and not on the sideline. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he was with me this last week, so it was, yeah.
What changed in him not being on the team plane last year and this year?
You know, I'm not getting into all that.
Okay. Well, I ran into him at the Super Bowl last year in Minneapolis, and I talked to him there. He had said in his opinion that all this stuff had been overblown, that he and Belichick actually had a pretty good relationship even then. Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Okay. Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows it's well documented how, you know, the work that he and I do together.
No, I know. I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out because I saw the reports this weekend that he's traveling with the team. Was he on the sideline on Friday?
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
I mean, they kept pressing. He answered the question. Then he revisited it. And everybody today is like, oh, the theatrics for Tom Brady. Folks, are you driving to work or watching this show right now? Do you feel like you're a really good employee? Have you taken a pay cut? Well, when you take a pay cut and you're carrying franchises year after year and you're watching Jared Goff and Derek Carr and you're watching Minnesota pay Stephon Diggs a fortune, rush to pay him $40 million guaranteed, and you won't pay Danny Amendola $1.50. You wonder why Brady's pissed. Come on now. Eli Manning has gone into the dumpster in 4 years, and they reward him with a left tackle. They draft a guard. They get him a running back. They get him a great coach. They get him Odell Beckham Jr. for the next 4 years. New England wouldn't pay to keep Danny Amendola, Brandon Cooks, Deion Lewis, Nate Solder. And you can't figure out quite why Tom's a little upset. And this just isn't about Brady. This is about anybody in America, man, woman, or teenager. If you are carrying an organization, never forget, Belichick was fired before Brady and was 5-11 in New England before Brady. And you're carrying this puppy for 15 years. Don't tell me his wife's a supermodel. He can afford a pay cut. It's about respect. It's about respect. You know, Aaron Rodgers said R-E-L-A-X. How about R-E-S-P-E-C-T? I'm taking pay cuts here. Everybody's getting a refill in their coffee. Tom's like, hello, waitress, over here. Nope, sorry. Danny Amendola, we can't afford a nickel to keep him. And Minnesota's given Kirk Cousins Stephon Diggs. They've already got a star back, a star tight end, a star defense. Yeah, Brady's ticked off. Do you blame him? All the headlines, all the theatrics, all the... His coach won't give him a heads up in a Super Bowl. They won't add anything. They won't draft a wide receiver. By the way, Big Ben in the last... My staff gave me this morning. This is an interesting stat. Big Ben, I mean, by the way, have you noticed what Atlanta, Matt Ryan, Big Ben, Juju Smith-Schuster, Breeze, they're drafting running backs, Alvin Kamara, wide receivers. These teams just keep spending top picks year after year on receivers and backs and left tackles. And good God, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Look at the weapons added this year to the star quarterback. This is for my television audience. On top of the weapons they have, and they won't pay Danny Amendola. I'm going to make an argument right now. Is that because Julian Edelman's not playing in September, without Edelman, New England's got the worst wide receiving core in the league. You keep talking about the Cowboys. Allen Hurns would be their best player right now on the perimeter. You got to be kidding me. They die for Cole Beasley in September. So, congratulations. Eli Manning is now 3-0 against Tom. 2-0 in Super Bowls and 1-0 in the 2018 offseason. He gets Pat Shurmur, Nate Solder for the next 4 years, Saquon Barkley for the next 4 years. Good Lord. It's amazing. He has every right to hang up on people. Let me shift to this. A lot of times, it's not your fault, but it's your reality. You're a young kid. There's chaos in your home. It's not your fault. You inherited your parents. But it is your reality. So suck it up and deal with it. I saw this story yesterday where Hugh Jackson had to tell one of his coordinators, stop calling our players stupid. Greg Williams came out when Denzel Ward, the cornerback, young cornerback for the Browns, got hurt. Greg Williams called him out and said, he's just stupid. Doesn't know how to tackle, doing stupid stuff. I wish he would listen. Hugh Jackson came out and said, I'd prefer that Greg Williams didn't call our players stupid. So I've always said it takes a really special person, Superman, to overcome dysfunction. Baker Mayfield is good enough to start in the NFL and is good enough to win games in the NFL. But he's not Cam Newton. He's not Andrew Luck. He's not Carson Wentz. He's not John Elway. That's what number one, number two picks are. he's not going to be able to overcome complete dysfunction. Just think of what has happened and what he inherited. Again, I'm not blaming Baker, but this is his reality. He inherited Hard Knocks. He didn't have a choice. He inherited a coach on the hot seat. 0-16, didn't have a choice. He inherited Greg Williams, a coach who calls players stupid. He inherited an impatient owner, Jimmy Haslam. They also now lead to get Dez Bryant. He inherits a team that now has multiple dysfunctional wide receivers. Listen, John Elway and Eli Manning, four Super Bowls between them, refused to go to NFL teams out of college. They said, I'm not, John Elway's like, I'm not going to Indy. And Eli Manning's like, I'm not going to San Diego. Their dad stepped in, their football dad said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going there. Because they know how hard it is to reboot your career. I've never said Baker's not talented enough to start and win games in this league. Check, check, he'll do both. But is he talented enough to overcome a coaching staff which feels like a 1978 relic, where the offensive line coach makes fun of people who stretch, and where the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, is calling players stupid publicly, chastised by his coach? Now they're the leading candidate on Dez Bryant. Oh, brother. I've said this. When you enter, it's not your fault, it's your reality. Carson Wentz walks into Philadelphia when they had a little dysfunction, Chip Kelly. Their roster was being a little rebuilt. Carson Wentz is Iron Man. And Cam Newton goes to Carolina, and he's Superman. And then Andrew Luck goes to dysfunctional Indianapolis, impulsive owner, doesn't have the right coach, GM. He's Batman. But Baker Mayfield, if he's a superhero, has always been Aquaman. I mean, you know, he's a superhero, but if there was a bank robbery on shore, he couldn't do anything because you get him out of water and he's just me. Nothing wrong with Aquaman, but Aquaman couldn't do anything on land, which I don't know. That seems like a slight imperfection as a superhero. Superman could go in water. Superman could fly. Superman could lift buildings. Aquaman's like, Hey, there's a bank robbery over here. Sorry, is it in the water? No. Is there a puddle nearby? No. I'm just out here on my... Yeah. If anybody's got a boat that's sinking, I can certainly help. If you're on a rock out in an island, I can certainly help you then. But if you're on the land thing, I mean, Greg Williams calling players stupid. It's 2018. It's not 1978. An offensive line coach that made World War II references and said, you know, nobody really needs stretching. That's a lot to overcome, man. You got to be Superman. This is his offensive line coach in Cleveland. Listen.
World War I, World War II, all those guys that fought in that war, right? They did push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, climbed the rope and ran. But none of this fancy, okay? Right? And they won two world wars. Two world wars by doing jumping jacks, push-ups, and sit-ups. Two world wars. You think they were worried when they're running across Normandy about stretching? Are you kidding me?
A few people might have pulled a hammy.
Well, let me see. Give me my rubber band so I can stretch to run across that beach. You got to be kidding me.
I bet he doesn't like things on his lawn.
Carson Wentz can overcome that. Andrew Luck did overcome that.
You think him and Alex Guerrero would get along?
I mean, Hard Knocks, for the record, is on again tonight. You can watch what Baker Mayfield, who I never thought should be a number one pick, you can watch tonight on Hard Knocks HBO what he has to overcome. Wow. Calling players stupid 2018 for an injury. I mean, wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Like, there's certain things in life that you either have to embrace or I give up trying. Like, I always tell my kids all the time, if you don't care about something, then I don't care about it. If you don't want to go to volleyball practice, then why am I putting any effort in? You got to show me you care about something. And there's also things in life that, like, if you don't get how important they are, I'm not going to try to convince you how important they are, like technology. Like, you either get technology is going to put 30% of Canada out of work within a decade and 20% of America because of automation. You better figure that out, or you're going to have issues if you work in an industry where you can be replaced by a robot, because it's coming, and it's coming fast. Like, there's certain things you just have to be aware of. And in sports, there's several of these, but here's the one where I just, like, you either get Andrew Luck's good or you don't. I can't help you. So ESPN, a place I used to work, has become more of a basketball network, and increasingly, it shows in their coverage. They put out a list yesterday from their football experts of the top 100 players projected for this year. First of all, it didn't even make sense. They said, we don't want you to consider previous seasons. Well, then why would you have Aaron Rodgers number one? Why would you have Tom Brady two if I didn't include previous seasons? Tom's just a 41-year-old man with a hot wife. I mean, what does that mean? Of course you consider what they've done. That's why I think J.J. Watt will be good, because he's been good, even though he was injured. So Andrew Luck doesn't make the list. Of the top 100, the quarterbacks who made it are Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Wentz, Roethlisberger, Wilson, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Phillip Rivers, Jimmy G, Cam Newton, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, Alex Smith? What general manager? But Colin, Andrew Luck's coming off an injury. J.J. Watt's on the list, so is he. Deshaun Watson's on the list, so is he. You're going to tell me if you were a general manager in the NFL and you could this morning have Andrew Luck or Alex Smith, and I like Alex Smith, you choose him? Alex Smith has had great coaches offensively, Jim Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and in 13 years has thrown for over 20 touchdowns three times. Andrew Luck's never had an elite offensive head coach. In five seasons, he's done it four times with awful offensive lines. In Andrew Luck's last healthy year, this is the last year he was totally healthy, his numbers were remarkable. 40 TDs, 16 picks, 300 yards a game, 62% completion percentage, passer rating at nearly 97. In the last year he played a bunch of games but was not healthy, his numbers were still B-plus in the NFL. 2016, now he was not healthy. It's been confirmed now. He even admits, and he's a humble kid, I played through pain the whole time. 63.5 completion percentage, 290 yards a game, 280, 31 TDs, 13 picks, 96.5 passer rating. Wasn't even healthy. You would literally take a defensive lineman off an injury, J.J. Watt over him, and Alex Smith. Alex Smith, I'm going to say something, and you're not going to believe it's true. And I like Alex Smith. Alex Smith had a year recently where he did not throw a touchdown pass to a receiver. That same year, Andrew Luck had 40 touchdown passes. Remember that year for Kansas City? They didn't have very good receivers. He didn't throw a touchdown pass to a wide receiver. It may have been like week 15 or week 16. It was like really late in the season. It was like December. I mean, come on now. It was the entire season, John? It was the entire season. Oh, my bad. I gave Alex Smith some love he didn't deserve. Now, come on, folks. You're a general manager in this league. Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, and Andrew Luck are available. You don't choose Andrew Luck. Yes, here it is right here, 2014. Alex Smith had a year he didn't throw a touchdown pass to a wide receiver. For the record, you may not love Andrew Luck like I do. I get it. But can you least acknowledge now he is the least appreciated great player in the league? He doesn't make the top 100 list? Deshaun Watson, off an injury, has been good for a four-game, six-game stretch, does. Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, and I like Alex, but there's not a general manager in the world that would choose Alex Smith over Andrew Luck if they were both available. Good hell. I mean, you gotta try if you're a network doing football lists. You gotta do better than that.
Hey, what's up? This is John Middlecoff from the 3 and Out Podcast, brought to you live by the Colin Cowherd Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk a ton of football. This week coming up, I talk about the rule changes, Josh Allen's budding stardom, and just how lucky the 49ers got with Jimmy G. You can listen to me wherever podcasts are found. Again, it's the 3-and-Out Podcast. John Middlecoff, that's me, brought to you by the Herd Podcast Network.
Speaking of that, Joel Klatt was the last guy that called me stupid. You were the last guy.
That was an incredible segue.
You really were the last guy that called me.
I know, and I did it on your own radio show. I wear that like a badge of honor. Like, I'm old school, right?
Okay, I think you agree with me. I'm a Harbaugh guy. So he
goes a Harbaugh guy as
goes
well.
Goes to San Diego, turns it around in 2 years. Goes to Stanford, they're 0-12, turns it around in 3 years. He goes to the 49ers, turns it around in 1 year.
Yeah.
He goes to Michigan. He's a bad mark at Ohio State from being in a playoff already.
Yep.
I've supported him. But we're in year four. Okay, he's got to beat Notre Dame Saturday. Because then I'm up against the wall defending him. I'm like, okay, Colin,
sure.
4 years, all his player, got an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first game with Harbaugh. I feel as a defender, Jimmy, you got to line up and beat that team.
I would agree with you. Now, I think that they can achieve everything that they need to this year, even with a loss Saturday night. So I wouldn't put myself firmly in the camp of they have to win this game because they can still go win the division. They could go to the playoff even if they lose this game, certainly. It's going to make it a lot tougher because I think that the discussion around it will be so intense via what you're talking about. The scrutiny will be so intense that it'll be tough to overcome for that team. I happen to think that they win Saturday night. I think that they're a better team than Notre Dame
so
this
I.
year. I think it's close, but I think that they're a better team. And I think that this is his best chance. I mean, this is his best team that he's had at Michigan. A lot of people are talking about their offensive line. And yeah, that's certainly a little bit of a question mark. But I'm also a Harbaugh defender. Colin, here's the thing. This notion or narrative that he's somehow overrated or is underperforming at Michigan is false. It is false.
It's not only false, it is like, okay, what's your agenda saying that?
Correct.
Listen, in any line of work, look at you. So you are a great high school athlete, you get a college scholarship, and you succeed. You raise a great family, now you're an excellent analyst.
You've
had success, success, success. My theory is like, if you keep succeeding in life, I'm going to give you a pass on a bump in year three of your newest job. Harbaugh's won everywhere. He overachieved as a player. He overachieved at San Diego, Stanford, the Niners.
Yeah.
Like, folks, he's a bad spot against Ohio State from being in the playoffs.
And I don't want people to get revisionist in their history like they just came out of the Schimbeckler era and everything was great before he got there. I mean, it was bordering on a dumpster fire.
It was
at Michigan when he entered the fray there, and a lot of heck, the guy you sit across from in the afternoons, Whitlock has got the Hoke ties
So
that's why Whitlock defends him, Brady Hoke, and that's why he bashes Harbaugh, because the more he can bash Harbaugh, the better the Hoke era looks.
Yeah, no kidding, Whitlock.
And that agenda is very clear and it's very plain for everyone
to
see.
I don't have any agendas on this show.
I try to call balls and strikes.
Thank you.
Know? When Saban's,
that's me. Strike. Ball. That's me. Ball and strike guy.
That's you?
Yeah. I'm ball and strike guy.
Yeah, but you got a book.
I have a slight agenda with Sam Darnold, but I think I'm right on that one.
I was going to say, you got a slight agenda on Baker Mayfield as well.
No, I think I'm right on that one. We'll see. That'll be...
I mean, it remains to be seen. They both played pretty well in the preseason.
Oh, absolutely. Hey!
I hope that they have a lot of success, both of them.
Okay. So, here's what's great about college football this year. And I used to bang on the Big Ten. Good Lord. Michigan's got the best defense. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin has the best offensive line. Ohio State has the best roster. Penn State has the best schedule and playmaking quarterback. And I think Iowa may have the most underrated player in the country, Nate Stanley, their quarterback.
And you forgot Michigan State has the most experience.
Oh, they have the grumpy coach. Out. You can't win a national title. You can't
coach.
Win a national title with a coach that grumpy.
Nick Saban's more grumpy than Mark D'Antonio. In fact, he groomed Mark D'Antonio. They coached together.
Yeah, Nick Saban can also be hysterically funny at press conferences. Nick Saban's funny.
I mean, only when he's demeaning the press. I mean, then we all laugh at like, ha, look at he's demeaning that
no
guy
problem.
In the front row.
Find me the last grumpy coach that won a national championship.
Nick Saban last year.
What
are you talking about? Find me the last. Nick Saban's grumpy.
I don't think he's grumpy. I think he has 1,000 times the personality of Belichick. I think Nick Saban's a riot. I think when he goes to the podium, When Nick Saban goes to the podium.
You're hilarious.
Nick Saban is a notorious grumpy.
Exactly.
He's not grumpy. He, by the way, when Nick Saban goes to the podium like three times a year, right? And he goes in, he goes on these rants. You guys do realize those are funny. Those are funny.
Some of them are funny, but
okay,
they're coming.
Sam,
like,
go get me.
You're taking them as funny. He's not meaning that. He's like, oh, today I'm going to be funny. No, no, no. He's going in there like, that's his mindset going into some of those press conferences. You're like, this is hilarious. It's only hilarious because he's demeaning the guy in the front row.
God, Sam, go get a couple of these Nick Saban crazy rants. I think Nick goes into those things in his mind. Nick knows I'm going to do a little theater here.
What a tangent.
To get my point across.
What a tangent. We were talking about the Big Ten and the depth of the Big Ten. I would bring up Michigan State in that. You didn't want to because of their grumpy head coach. But let me go further with your analogy. Can you imagine right now the media hysteria that would be surrounding a conference that included Washington, Oklahoma, Clemson, Georgia, and Notre Dame? That would be the equivalent of what the Big Ten has right now. Right now. They've got five teams in the top 15. Probably should be higher than that.
I think Michigan's the most underrated team.
Everybody's got them
at 15, 14. I'm like, time out. They probably have next to Clemson, the best defense in the country.
I would rank those five teams in the top 12, personally, with the least of them being Penn State at 12. I would have Michigan State right at 9. Then I would have Michigan at 8. I would have Ohio State right up there in the top 4 and Wisconsin in the top 5. So, I mean, this is a loaded conference.
This is such a great weekend. Washington plays Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn's schedule is too hard to make the national championship, but their talent, especially front seven defensively, is good enough to play for a championship. That's a heavyweight fight.
Can I just bring up a nugget for everyone in college football to think about when you're watching Washington and Auburn on Saturday.
That's the second biggest game. Some would argue, actually, it's the best two teams colliding.
Probably, and I think it's the most meaningful game in week one.
That's a great way to put it.
And here's why, is because I don't believe that Washington can make the playoff if they lose on Saturday. And you might be thinking to yourself, what are you talking about? They would still have Oregon and Stanford, but they could win. Joel, you're crazy. No, 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 no. Hear me out. Auburn's likely not going to win their own division.
They're not.
And likely not going to win the SEC. They'll likely be a very clear third place team in their conference this season with the quality of Georgia and Alabama going on in the SEC. Which means, even if Washington were to run the table after a loss to Auburn in this scenario, you would have them being defeated by this third place team in the SEC, and Georgia and Alabama might be in a position to get in.
Oh, by the way.
Well, you could clearly state the case that those two teams would deserve inclusion based on this best metric over Washington. So, I'm just telling you right now, college football fan, this is the most meaningful game in week one because the entire season depends on it for Washington. And it's a very, very clear to see that in my mind. They will not be able to overcome a loss to Auburn.
All right. Have we got the Saban clip yet? Okay. We don't have one yet? Well, I got hockey scores out here. You can't get me a Saban clip? Okay. All right, let's go. You do this every week.
Yes.
So this
I've got
is my
a couple.
Joy, if you've never been on the show,
this is the best part.
This is the best part. Joy, Mr. Courage, he gives us,
you know, I've got two real upsets this week.
Okay.
Actual upsets.
Joel Klatt's almost upset of the week. This week, we're getting real upsets.
Real ones.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Give me some music. Give me a drum roll. Give me something. Here we go.
I've got Washington over Auburn in the most meaningful game in week one. I think the Huskies beat Auburn. Auburn's favored in that game.
What timeout? That's not an upset. What's the point spread?
Three.
Three is I tripped over an end line. That's not an upset.
What do you want me to start talking about that I think Oregon State's going to be within 42 of Ohio State? That's not very fun. I'm going with the upset Washington over Auburn.
That is an upset?
Making Colin malfunction.
Yeah, this is like he's short-circuiting over here, like the hairdryer hitting the bathtub. What is wrong with you?
That is the flimsiest, weakest.
Oh, spoken like the guy from Seattle.
That's not even an upset.
Washington's
ranked in the latest AP poll. Washington's ahead of Auburn.
And they're a dog.
in from guys, Vinny the Chin in Vegas.
Oh, you quote Vegas all the time when it serves your needs.
Okay, that's your big upset. What's your next one? Clemson beats Alabama in the national title game?
I think Michigan beats Notre Dame.
That's not an upset.
It is an upset.
Those aren't upsets.
Am I taking crazy pills? What is happening right now?
Well, the graphic like says almost upset alert.
So, time out. You're picking Washington and Michigan
to win
this weekend.
Do you want me to sit here and talk about Oregon State and Ohio State?
What? You got the Warriors winning the title in the NBA?
What is that spread? 38?
Got
you want
Philadelphia
me to talk about a game
making,
that has a spread of 38?
Got the Eagles making the playoffs this year? Oh, what a gambler. Well, those are flimsy.
You're unbelievable.
God.
Unbelievable.
I was so excited. You're like, I got two.
I do. I have two legitimate actual upsets. Michigan over Notre Dame, Washington
last
over
Auburn. Last year, you were coming on this show going, Panera Bread beats Ohio State, and we were celebrating it. Now you're picking Chris Peterson, the second best coach in the sport, and Harbaugh, the third, to win.
Joel, I'm usually on your side, but Colin really sold that. And I got to go with Colin on this
Unbelievable.
One.
Unbelievable.
All right, Joel Klatsky.
Watch out. Listen, a game I'm calling.
Which one are you calling?
FAU Oklahoma.
It'll be 72-40.
I disagree. I'm just saying.
Okay. Joel Klatt. Oh,
was
up,
that good enough for you, Colin?
You didn't call it. You didn't have the courage to go on that one.
Well, I'm calling the game.
All right. Just try to upgrade next week.
Unbelievable.
It's still preseason for you.
And this is how he behaves. Got a book. Glad can't pick an upset.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Odell Beckham signed a gigantic contract. Yesterday on Speak for Yourself, Jason Whitlock and Bucky Brooks, two guys I work with a lot, had different opinions. So let's lay it out for you.
I think the Giants have made a mistake. I think that Odell Beckham Jr. has been on his best behavior this offseason to get the money. I don't think he loves the game. I think he loves the attention. I think he loves being a celebrity. Now he's got the money to be that kind of celebrity, and that's where they're going to get. They got a celebrity wide receiver. He's not Julio Jones. He's not Antonio Brown. They will not get their money's worth out of this deal.
Oh, I disagree. I believe he's the engine to that Giants offense. And if they didn't pay him, if they didn't retain him, that offense can't function. Eli Manning is a different quarterback when number 13 isn't on the field. The New York Giants had to open up the bank because he is their most important player.
Both make points I agree with. Eli is a different quarterback with Odell Beckham. You just look at the numbers last 3 years. You can't deny it. I also think he's a celebrity more than a wide receiver in his mind at times. We know this to be true. What I'm about to say that we know what I'm about to say is true, that certain things can be okay on their own, but much better. You know, I haven't had a jelly sandwich since I was 8. I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich 6 days a week. Then I just suddenly love jelly, right? Like, we know certain things on their own combined with something flourish. This happens all the time. And I'm gonna give you something called the Pat Shermer effect. Three things are going to happen, some good, some bad, because of Pat Shermer. Case Keenum had huge numbers last year. They will decline in Denver precipitously because he doesn't have Pat Shermer as his offensive coordinator. Case Keenum numbers are going to drop like a rock. He's had one great year in his career with Pat Shermer. Eli Manning's numbers will improve dramatically from Ben McAdoo to Pat Shermer. I guarantee you this year, not just because of Saquon Barkley, because Ben McAdoo still doesn't have a football job, and Pat Shermer's probably, after Kyle Shanahan and McVay, a lot of people think the smartest offensive guy in the league. And third, the Vikings lose Pat Shermer as a coordinator. They're going to go from about 13 wins to 9 or 10 wins. And I like Minnesota a lot. But one coach is going to have a massive effect in this league. Pat Shermer. And why am I bringing him up? Because I think the New York Giants sat there and thought, nobody really knew who Stephon Diggs was. And then Pat Shermer. And Case Keenum was kind of average. And then Pat Shermer. Is that I think if you're the New York Giants, and you look at Pat Shermer, and then you look at Odell Beckham and you're saying, you know what? For 4 years together, he'll create real football magic. And we know this. Matt Ryan is a good quarterback, had Kyle Shanahan, was a great quarterback. Kyle Shanahan left. He went back to being a good quarterback. I think one of the reasons the Giants make this move is Pat Shurmur. That's why when Jason Whitlock and Bucky go back and forth, I could agree with both. On a lot, both of what they say, I agree with. But I think in the end, the Giants said, and I kind of get this, is we're going to get a running back with a number two pick because of Pat Shurmur. And we're going to sign Odell Beckham to a long-term deal because of Pat Shurmur. And we're not going to draft a quarterback yet. We're going to go with Eli two more years because of Pat Shurmur. And they're not necessarily wrong. Look how bad Jared Goff looked with Fisher. Look how good Jared Goff looked with Sean McVay. Look what Kyle Shanahan did to Jimmy Garoppolo. 5-0. Look what happened to Matt Ryan when he lost Kyle Shanahan. I know this is not some sexy topic. You don't want to talk about Pat Shurmur. But if I'm the Giants, a big part of drafting Saquon, passing on a quarterback, signing Beckham, is this guy. And I think outside of Sean McVay with the Rams and Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers, a lot of people look at Pat Shurmur as that guy that just takes offensive weapons that are good and makes them great, and the great talents he makes into spectacular players.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
Okay, we did it yesterday with the AFC. We'll do it with the NFC. You can describe every team in three words. Let's start with the NFC East, Philadelphia. Super Foles hangover. To me, Nick Foles has been garbage in the preseason. Carson Wentz is still hurt. They've been banged up. Didn't have any of their running backs or Alshon Jeffries. Listen, Philadelphia's well run from the top down, and they have tremendous line play. They will be very good. But folks, New England's not winning Super Bowls back-to-back. Their division's tough with Dallas better. New York Giants added an elite offensive mind, left tackle, running back, Odell signed. Let's go to Dallas. Don't doubt Dak. For all the Dak criticism, folks, his first 2 years in the league, he started as a rookie. He's won 22 of 32 games, and of the remaining 10, five have been one possession. The NFC is better than the AFC. This division has produced a Super Bowl champion in the 2 years he's been starting. The kid can play. I think he's better, addition by subtraction with Dez Bryant out. He's better when he can mix the ball around, spray it around the infield. 7 or 8 targets. He's 14-2 when he's had 8 or more targets. Don't doubt Dak. New York, OBJ. It's real simple. He is now highest paid wide receiver in the league. Eli Manning is clearly better when he's healthy. He is theatrical. He is outspoken. He can be energizing. But it's kind of his franchise. He's the most popular player. He's the most discussed player. And he's now the highest paid player. And there's going to be media pressure on him constantly. And he's either going to make it or break it this year. Because if he goes down or if he goes into theatrics, it's going to affect everybody on that team. Finally, Washington, 4th place finisher. Listen, Sean McVay left. They've never quite been the same offense. Now, they were injury-riddled last year, but they've already drafted a running back, and he is hurt. I like Alex Smith, but I don't think they're the same team without Sean McVay. And I look at their talent and everybody else's, and I think it's a fourth-place team. Not a bad fourth-place team. Could be the league's best fourth-place team, but it's a fourth-place team. Chicago, let's go to the NFC North. Trubisky or False Brisky? I don't buy the kid yet. Never had a 2-touchdown game. I think Chicago's got some nice elements. They've got a nice linebacking crew, one of the better in the NFC. But I didn't think he should be a number one pick. I wouldn't have traded up to draft him. I'd go False Biscuit. Green Bay, Aaron and out. Listen, they still don't have a running game. They still don't retain their good offensive linemen. They've upgraded at corner. They got him Jimmy Graham. This is still Aaron Rodgers' team. They looked like the Cleveland Browns last year when he got hurt. Minnesota, miracle no more. They got a lot of breaks last year. They were really healthy on defense. Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Bears were starting a rookie. Now they've got a first-place schedule. Pat Shermer's gone. They'll be good, not great. And Detroit, the doormats. Matt Patricia, Matt Stafford. I mean, Belichick's coordinators don't work. They don't work. Even the good one, Josh McDaniel, they don't work as head coaches. Let's go to the NFC South. Carolina, no Cam do. Listen, it's a precision league. He has looked better in preseason. Christian McCaffrey's popped in the preseason. But in a division where I have Breeze and Matt Ryan and really good offensive coaches for both, no Cam do. New Orleans, Drew and crew, pretty easy to sum up. He's got 2 great years left. They'll go as far as Drew can take him. Tampa Bay, walking the plank. Jameis Winston, Dirk Cutter, I think the owner's questioning both. And Atlanta, Ryan under radar. I think Atlanta right now is my pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Sark and Matt Ryan's second year. They've made upgrades defensively. It is a top five offensive line. Let's go to the NFC West. Legion of Doom. I know everybody loved it. I know everybody loves Seattle. Offensive lines in total rebuild. Outside of Doug Baldwin, no great perimeter players. They drafted a running back in the first round, probably a reach. And Earl Thomas isn't happy. Richard Sherman is gone. So is Michael Bennett. A lot of politics, a lot of talking. Yap, yap, yap. It just doesn't feel like an optimistic locker room to me. Arizona, this is mean, but Bradford hurt yet? Listen, the weakness of the team's the offensive line, and Sam Bradford has a history. I don't have to embellish. Josh Rosen will play this year, like it or not. Los Angeles, rambunctious roster reformation. It's almost like they are working with a different bank than every other team. They're just paying people massive gobs of money. I think if you count kicker and punter, it's the best roster in the league. I don't know where they have a weakness. They're not great at linebacker, and they got all-stars everywhere on this roster. And San Francisco, Garoppolo on Topolo. I think for the next 10 years, San Francisco is going to make a run at multiple NFC championships and Super Bowl titles.